third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here live at Bridgestone Arena. Chase is off today and tomorrow. He'll be back with us on Monday. We're getting a little bit closer to another inter-squad scrimmage as we are live here at Bridgestone Arena between the white team and the gold team here for the Predators. Yesterday, the gold team prevailed 4-1. The scrimmage looks like we've got the same officials.
Same teams, same roster,
Scotty
same
Nickel,
officials. Yep.
David Good. As the officials out there, as they're getting a little bit closer. They'll be off tomorrow, Saturday, another practice, and then they will head to the hub city of Edmonton on Sunday, and they will get ready for a July 30th scrimmage exhibition game against the Dallas Stars, and then it is on Sunday, August 2nd. Game one, they will kick off that whole day's worth of action, as it'll be the Predators and the Coyotes in game one of the qualifying round. And with all that being said, let's bring in a guy who knows a little bit, a thing or two, about the opponent for the Predators. Craig Morgan is on the line with us, and he, azcoyotesinsider.com is where you can find his work. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We can't complain. We're sitting here at Bridgestone Arena ready to see the Predators get after it here in this training camp. I guess we're calling it a July training camp. How have things been out in the desert? How have things gone for the Coyotes to this point?
Well, I don't take a lot away from training camp practice. I just don't think there are a lot of definitive takeaways available there. But they've shown a lot of energy. I think that part is important. They've been playing with pace, which is a critical component of Rick Tocchet's style. And of course, the thing that a lot of teams can say right now is they're completely healthy. So that, in my mind, is just one of many variables that normally doesn't exist in a postseason and makes this particular postseason really difficult to handicap.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When do they leave for Edmonton?
They go up Sunday.
They go up Sunday as well. So, Craig, we have no idea how this is going to play out, right? And so I just want to get your opinion of – We're not used to five-game series. I mean, they're always seven games. These qualifying rounds are going to be a shorter series. So how do you think, in your opinion or in your mind, game one is going to be viewed? Because obviously there's less games. It counts. Game one, I don't ever want to say, is not important. I think game one is always important of a series. But doesn't it become ramped up a little bit more, the importance of game one in a shorter series?
No question. I think it's a massive advantage to win that game. Of course, it doesn't decide the series, but it gives you such a leg up in a short series, and the coaches have admitted that as well. You really have to be ready right from the get-go, because if you can get a jump on a team, they're going to be chasing you the whole time. But again, who knows what we're going to see, because you look at all the key components of both of these teams. Are they actually going to be sharp going into game one, or are we going to see some sloppy play early in the postseason until teams find their legs and their structure?
You know, it's October, November seems like a long, long time ago. And it's hard to really go off a couple of meetings between these two teams back a long, long time ago. So I don't think we can take anything away from that as we sit here in late July. And they'll start in early August. There's one guy I want to know a little bit more about, Connor Garland, who kind of burst on the scene. He led the team in goals with 22, only player on the Coyotes. Philip Forsberg is the only player for the Predators with 20 or more goals. Well, tell us a little bit more about him, and how did this season play out for him where, like I said, he got everybody's attention by scoring a lot of goals for the Coyotes?
Yeah, he's a great story, because he's a fifth-round draft pick from back in 2015 who really had to remake his game completely. He was more of a guy who liked to play with the puck, stay on the perimeter and create. And the coaching staff, the development staff of the Coyotes said, look, to be honest, you're not that guy. You're not going to be the guy that we have with a puck in his hands all the time carrying through the center of the ice. You've got to be a guy that's more of a darter who goes to the net, who gets in the corners. And, of course, Connor Garland's only about 5'8", so that's a lot to ask. But to his credit, he really worked on that down in Tucson of the AHL, did really remake his game. And when it came up late last season due to a bunch of injuries, he had some success late last season scoring a bunch of goals, and they were all around the net. One, in fact, went off his face and left a big cut on him. But as Rick Tocchet says, you go to the net, you often get rewarded. Well, he brought that same style of play into this season and led the team with 22 goals, which is not a great total for a team that absolutely needs to score more. But Connor Garland is one of the most fun players to watch in the NHL, and I had a bunch of scouts tell me that. You know, they weren't that aware of him, but when they'd come through the press box, you know, after games, they'd just say how much fun he was to watch because he never stops moving. He's always darting in the corners. He's really hard to get a lick on. And again, he is fearless. He goes to the net, and he's scoring a lot of goals for them. I don't see much of that changing in the postseason. He knows what his style has to be. He could be a guy who could make a real impact on this series.
Craig, beware. They're going to play the national anthem, I think, in a minute here. So forgive us as we talk over it. But I've heard Connor Garland recently in an interview talk about how Steve Sullivan, a guy you know with a similar build, similar makeup, who works with the Coyotes, was a great influence on Connor Garland. Is that fair to say?
It's absolutely true. I wrote a story last year on how he remade his game, and Steve Sullivan, of course, was a critical source in that because he is both the Coyotes' assistant general manager. He's the general manager of Tucson, and he is the guy that really oversees their development process. And he had a lot of long conversations with Connor about just that. Yeah, they have similar games. They have similar statures. So they had a lot of talks about what he needed to do to make it to the NHL. So it is definitely fair to say that Steve Sullivan had a major influence on Connor Garland.
Craig, how much are they relying on a guy like Phil Kessel, who didn't have the regular season he was looking for, but a guy that has logged so many critical minutes in big games in the playoffs? Certainly he is used to postseason play and Stanley Cup playoff play. I know there's no way for any of us to know how he's going to come out playing after this long pause, but how much are the Coyotes relying on him to use that experience in this postseason?
They're definitely relying on him. He's been an incredible playoff performer over the course of his career. Of course, he played with some really good players, particularly in Pittsburgh, where he won a couple cups. But Phil had a very disappointing season. Part of that was due to injuries. He talked about this on a recent Zoom call, how it was probably the most injury-plagued season he's ever had. I reported way back early in the season that he had a groin injury that probably impacted him for about a quarter of the season. Phil Kessel needs his speed. He needs his breakaway speed to be effective, and he just didn't have that for a good chunk. But even when he came out of that, we were just seeing things that didn't happen earlier in his career. He wasn't shooting as much. He was missing the net often. He was making bad passes, and he's a terrific passer. So a lot of mistakes that were coming from him, a lot of that on the power play, too, where they really wanted him to have an impact. He never seemed to mesh with Oliver Ekman-Larsson and even Taylor Hall when he came over. So I do think Phil is looking at this as sort of a second chance, a fresh start for him to try and make amends for the season he had. Health will help a lot, but hopefully Phil was also training hard over these 4 months off, because as his body ages, I think, you know, the Phil Kessel of old that, you know, always did what he needed to do but didn't do the extra stuff, I think that has to go by the wayside if he wants to extend his career.
Opening faceoff just happened. Nick Bonino and Matt Duchene. Gold team wins the faceoff, and away we go. A little inter-squad scrimmage here, and we're underway here at Bridgestone Arena. They did not end, obviously. When they hit the pause button, everybody in the league hit the pause button. When the Coyotes did that, they were not in places they were earlier in the year where they were leading the division. They were on the outside looking in. What happened late in the year going into the pause where it seemed like Arizona was going the wrong direction, Craig?
Well, they brought in Taylor Hall, and I think everybody thought from that point they might take off because they were hovering around. They were in first place, actually. But one game into Taylor Hall's tenure, Darcy Kuemper got hurt. Their number one goalie, their Vezina Trophy candidate, played at a spectacular level. I heard writers mentioning him in the Hart Trophy conversation earlier in the season. But he missed a good chunk of games, and you saw, at least for those first 2 months that he was out, the Coyotes got below-average goaltending, and it really hurt this team because this team is built from the back end out. They really rely on that defensive identity, and you know, when you're maybe not scoring quite as much as you need to, it gets magnified. They really struggled. I think they won 6 times in 17 outings, fell all the way out of the traditional playoff race, so that was the biggest factor. They seemed to right the ship, actually, about the last 10 games before the pause, even though they were about a 500 team. They were playing much better. They were actually at the top of the league and generating chances. So they felt like they still had a chance to climb in because they had a bunch of home games. But, getting back to your earlier question, I really think losing Darcy Kuemper was the big blow for this club.
We're talking to Craig Morgan. He covers the Coyotes for AZ Coyotes Insider. Coyotes Insider. And he knows this team backwards and forwards. We're watching the Predators in the inter-squad scrimmage right now. So, Craig, you mentioned Taylor Hall, and it's a really interesting thing that is unfolding with him because he's free agent coming up. I know the Coyotes, as I've read before, they would like to keep him there for sure. The market is now a little uncertain, even though now there is certainty in the collective bargaining agreement. So where does all that stand right now, his future with the team?
Well, as you guys probably saw, there are multiple reports, I was one of them, that there was a meeting between Hall, the new president, Javier Gutierrez, and also the owner, Alex Morello, and his son, recently in Arizona. I believe that an offer was crafted for Taylor Hall, and it sounds like it was a little below where most people believe Taylor Hall's market value is. So it's interesting on a number of fronts. General Manager John Chyka was not there, which is odd in a way. We could talk about that if you want, but I think the bigger picture is, you know, right now, Taylor Hall has always said he's open to returning here. His agent, Darren Ferris, has always told me he's open to returning here, and John Chyka has made it clear that they want to re-sign him, but the Coyotes are in a bit of a cap crunch, so they'll have to make some moves, and you know, I wonder in this flat cap era, how many teams actually will have the wherewithal to sign a guy like Hall at the price he wants. The flat cap has changed things dramatically. I don't really have a full sense of what the market is going to look like for UFAs, but there's no question it's going to be impacted. And I think a lot of GMs have to think long and hard about committing long-term and at this price for a guy like Taylor Hall when you're going to be facing this economic crunch. So terrible time probably for Taylor Hall to become a UFA.
Do you think there's any way this plays a factor in how they come out of this return to play and play? Let's say they get ousted by the Predators, or let's play the other side. They make kind of a deep run into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Do you think that would affect what his future may be in Arizona?
I absolutely think it impacts it. Taylor Hall wants to be someplace where he feels a team can win. He wants to be in the playoffs. So if the Coyotes bow out in the play-in round, which is, I suppose, technically not the postseason, that can't help their chances. On the flip side, if they do make a run, win a series or two, that could certainly help their chances, as could maybe, you know, the flat cap if the Coyotes can make their own moves to fit him in. But he definitely wants to be in the postseason. He's only tasted it once in his entire career, amazing as that sounds. He wants to get back there, and he wants to be a part of a team that he thinks has a future.
One theme that I think every team has, Craig, there's going to be a few guys on the team that were playing through stuff all season long. They probably weren't themselves, and now you have this restart button. The Predators roster is full of them. Who would that be for your team? I know you've written on Oliver Ekman-Larsson, a guy that is a tremendous player. Offensively, what does the restart do for a guy like him, or is there anybody else that comes to mind when I throw that out there?
Yeah, Oliver's definitely one of them. He had off-season knee surgery and told me in a story the other day that it just never felt right the whole season. This 4 months off really helped him. He feels 100%. So he's definitely one to look at. I mentioned Kessel earlier with the groin. He finally feels healthy. But there are some other players. I think you have to look at both of the goalies. You know, while they were both playing at the end, I think they were probably playing through some stuff, so they're probably both fresh now. Jacob Chychrun had a muscle strain. It was a psoas muscle strain that had him out of the lineup. And then Connor Garland, who we talked about earlier, he had an MCL sprain that was going to keep him out for the rest of at least the regular season. So he's 100%. Now, a lot of guys on the Coyotes were impacted by injuries that are able to play now. And actually, I left one out. Brad Richardson had double core surgery 2 days after the season ended, and he's all good now. So a lot of guys were impacted by this.
All right, Craig, we have to ask the question that is booming around the NHL circles right now. Your initial thought, your first impression on the Seattle Kraken logo and nickname?
You know what? I think professional sports teams are too boring, too conservative with their nicknames most of the time. So I applaud Seattle for actually listening to the masses and getting a little creative with this name. Now, there may be some people that think it's not enough of a grown-up name, but, you know, it's fun. I think a lot of people will enjoy it, and I absolutely love the logo and color scheme. So I applaud them.
Well, what is this team? It's going to be interesting when the Coyotes, after Seattle gets into the league, the Coyotes will be in the Predators division in the Central. How crazy is that going to be?
Well, the Coyotes aren't happy about it, I can tell you that. You know,
I wouldn't be either.
I talked to people with the travel, they already face one of the worst schedules in the league on an annual basis because of travel, and that'll make it even worse. I know they're not happy about it. I know they plan to revisit this with the NHL and hope that the NHL might take a more creative approach with realignment rather than taking the easiest possible solution and just shoving the Coyotes in the Central. I think they could go to a better model like the NFL. You could have 8 four-team divisions at this point now that you've got 32 teams. And I've actually written this story. There are ways to figure that out pretty easily. I hope that they get a little more creative with this because putting the Coyotes in the Central is it's a bad decision.
Greg, we're looking forward to this. Can't wait. August 2nd can get here fast enough. It's going to be a lot of fun to see how all this plays out. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll certainly be talking to you soon. Thanks for doing this.
All right, guys. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Craig Morgan. He is a Coyotes insider. azcoyotesinsider.com is where you can find his work on the team. That, of course, is the opponent in the qualifying round for the Predators, and they will get the action started on Sunday, August 2nd in that game. Was it a 1 o'clock our time start? Is that right? I don't have it in front of me. 1 o'clock?
Game one?
Yep. 1 o'clock
I will tell
our
you
time.
In just a moment.
Which, by the way,
if I could get the website to go,
can watch on Fox Sports Tennessee and listen right here on 102.5 The Game. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have the call. I'll have pregame for you. I believe it's 1, so I'm going to go with noon. That's my final answer. I don't have it in front of me as Willie is checking.
Scrambling. It is a 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Yes, it is a 1 o'clock.
So noon pregame right here on 102.5 The Game, and that'll be the first of 5 games that day in the National Hockey League. There'll be a couple round-robin games as well. Saturday, August 1st, we'll have 5 games, no round-robin, all qualify round games, and so that'll be interesting as hockey has their return to play on Saturday, August 1st. We'll come back. More action here from Bridgestone Arena. White versus gold. They're 7 minutes into this inter-squad scrimmage. No score here from Bridgestone Arena. More coming on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.